Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Sit down, slide your pants off, and get ready for another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. Izzy, are you excited? You sound a little bit excited this week.
Yeah.
That is my co-host, Izzy, the Pharaoh of Fantasy Elkafoss, on Twitter at DTC underscore IzzyE. What's new, man?
Not a whole lot. We're almost halfway through the season, bro.
I know. I'm happy that it's 17 weeks so that we can actually not yet be halfway through.
True. Yeah, that's very true. So we'll at halftime of next week's games, we'll be halfway through.
Should we record a podcast at that moment so that we can say it we're halfway through?
No, never mind. It'll be week 9. It's 18 weeks now. Yeah. Oh, but a regular season for us. Yeah, so 8.5 weeks. Yeah, so we'll have to record a podcast at halftime.
All right, I'm on. I'll do it. I'm
all
in.
All right, cool.
By the way, I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter, at FFHercules. The main handle is at FFDynastyTrades. We got a kind of a cool show here for we're going to do things a little bit different. In fact, just to give you a really quick insight on what we're going to be covering, we're going to talk about the top 5 players at each position. There's been a lot of movement around at the top for each position, so I thought that it was compelling enough to cover that. And maybe before we kick things off, should we do like a little game to warm our minds up, to warm our brains up?
Yeah, I like games.
I was thinking like a throwback, this is Throwback Thursday for us. It's the game we would always used to play at the hookah bar before we'd play spades. It's the player game. One person gets to pick a team and a position, and then we go back and forth naming off players that have played in that position on that team until one person's out. And then when one person's out, they're done.
Okay.
The other person gets a chance to win. A win is a point. We'll play like best of 3.
Okay.
So ahead. I'll let you pick first.
Let's go New York Jets wide receivers.
New York Jets wide receivers. Should I start or are you starting?
You go ahead, since I picked the team.
I'll just do Denzel Mims.
Corey Davis.
Elijah Moore.
Okay. I will go with Braxton Berrios.
Brandon Marshall.
Jameson Crowder.
That's a good one. Ooh, you had me thinking about what's the other player we had a bet on? You had Jameson Crowder. I had, it was who was going to lead the team. Oh, Robbie Anderson.
Nice. Good job. There's a lot of really easy ones if you like think back 5, 10 years, even 15 years with the
20,
Jets.
30 years, yep.
Yeah, but there's like some of the teams are like hard to remember. There's some really easy ones.
Yep.
Let me try to think of current players first before I shift. Keelan Cole.
Did Wayne Corbett play for the Jets?
Yeah, Wayne Corbett definitely did. So I will go with his counterpart at the time, Lavernius Coles.
Oh, that's a great one. Wayne Corbett, Lavernius Coles.
That's what we'd ask for. We'd ask for the Lavernius when we're at the hookah bar because we need more Coles. Whenever we need more Coles, we ask for some Lavernius.
That's right. Dang, that's a good one. Santana Moss.
Mm-hmm. Santana. Santana Moss reminds me of Santonio Holmes.
Santonio Holmes. That's such a good one. All right, I'm going to do this just in case we're kind of like flirting with the timeline for this. So I'm going to say it. Keyshawn Johnson.
Dang. Keyshawn Johnson. That's a good one. Oh, Quincy Enunwa.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Wasn't there like a Jalen Marshall? I'm going to Google it.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Eric Decker.
Oh.
Mm. There's one guy in my back pocket that I'm saving, and it's only because it's an inside joke. And I thought for sure you'd have him queued up.
Ashley Lillie? Is that the inside joke?
No, I don't know if Ashley ever played for them.
He was the Broncos. I don't think he ever played anywhere else. Yeah. But I, like, that's one of the main inside jokes I can think of that we have.
No, this is an inside joke. Like, an inside joke dating back like a decade.
Oh, Crotch Man.
Yeah, Crotch Man. Yeah, you got it. Crotch Man, yeah.
And what was the, what's the player's name?
Jericho Cotchery.
Jericho Crotchery. So good. Well, I love this game because I can just picture inside my head that people are like driving in their car or sitting on their couch listening to the podcast, and they're screaming names into their headphones wide receivers that we've missed. We did pretty good. For Jets, I mean, neither of us are really focused on the Jets. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Nice job.
And that's a good place to stop. That was like our little icebreaker. Should we call it a podcast? Wrap it up?
Wrap it up. That's good from here.
Just a stupid Jets wide receiver game. We'll play it every week. Just always use Jets players.
I like it.
We do have a topic to go through. We wanted to cover the top five players at each position in Dynasty. How do you want to start this? Do you want to kick it off with a quarterback? Just kind of make it simple.
Yeah, let's go with quarterbacks. First, we'll go over the top five current quarterbacks, and then we can...
In scoring this season? Rattle them off.
Top five quarterbacks in terms of scoring are... Do you want to guess them first? I kind of mentioned them. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah, you mentioned like two or three of them. You said Tom Brady. You said Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray.
Yep.
And is this for average or total points in the season?
This is total. Good point. Let me sort it by average.
There's been bye weeks.
Let's sort it by average. Okay. So, yes. So you got three of them so far. There's two more.
I think that Joe Burrow should be up there. He's had a consistently, if not top five, maybe like top six or seven.
Joe Burrow is number 14.
No way.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting something? Maybe a stinker.
Tyrod is in the top 11. He had
two
pretty good games to start the season. And Russell Wilson is obviously still in there for average.
I want to say Josh Allen.
Yep. There's one more. Pretty easy one.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep. Those are the five.
Okay.
Nice. Jalen Hurts, fun fact, the only quarterback in all of fantasy to score at least 20 points in every game this season. The most points he's scored is 28.7, and the fewest points he scored is 20.5. So that deviation, pretty shallow.
He's got to be one of the best fantasy quarterbacks with the least secure job that I've ever seen in my entire life.
You watch him, he's really not that good. He's not bad, but he's definitely far from good.
Yeah, but would not be shocked if the Eagles went for Deshaun Watson if they're not already, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like the mobile version of Jameis Winston, where like Jameis put up a lot of fantasy points because of just volume. Like Jameis did it just based on volume. He threw a lot of picks, threw a lot of touchdowns, yards, yada yada yada. Jalen is just doing it based on the ability to run. So he's kind of in that Kaepernick mold too, where Kaepernick wasn't a great quarterback, but he had a lot of good fantasy seasons or good fantasy production weeks because of his mobility.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would not be surprised. But it's so hard to find good quarterbacks that I think at this point he's proven that he should be on the field in some way because he can make some things happen, but he's far from being a quarterback where you're like, this guy's taking us to the promised land.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to who are the top five dynasty quarterbacks are. Now, Mahomes seems to be like the easy answer, but lately it's not so easy, right? Like, would you still stick your neck out for Mahomes as QB1 pretty easily?
So he's currently QB6 on average. He scored 33, 24, 23, 31, 19, 23, and then a clunker. So let's put it this way. If he wouldn't have had this bad game, and if he would have had a normal, let's call it 20-point game, add 13 points to his average, he would be the QB3 on average behind Brady and Josh Allen.
Okay.
Barely. I mean, they're all neck and neck. So he's played well, for sure.
I'm just going to say this. Josh Allen just feels like QB2 like all the time. I don't know why, without like threatening for QB1. But like, I would be fine with somebody convincing me that Kyler Murray is the dynasty QB1, because he is just consistently lights out, it seems like. He's exactly what you want Jalen Hurts to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could make the case. I mean, he had a 13-point game. He's had two sub-20-point games, which isn't the worst thing in the world. He definitely has more of a ceiling because he's a better passer. So he's had a couple 33-point games, week one and week two. But yeah, a little bit more deviation than a guy like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think you could make the case that Kyler Murray is the 101. I personally would not have him there, but I understand it.
So who do you, so like Patrick Mahomes, number one.
Let's go per calculator. The calculator has it. Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Lamar, Herbert.
So would you agree that Mahomes is the QB1 in Dynasty still though? I'm going to say yes.
So, okay. Based on the community, which is AKA the calculator, we have Mahomes, Allen, and Murray kind of in a tier, I would say. Then you kind of have a mini break, and you go, all three of those players are 60 and above in Superflex. And yep. Then below 60, but above 50, Lamar, Dak, and Herbert. I think I would have Mahomes still at one. I'd have Allen at two.
I think I like Kyler at two, and I think it might be because I have to double check my work here, but is Josh Allen not taking off as much this year as he has in the past?
I mean, he's not having like monster games on the ground, but he's still getting his 30, 40 yards.
So he's got 214 yards on the ground so far. Yeah, I guess he had 421 all of last season, so he's not really, you know, but that's the reason why I think I have Kyler above him, is because Kyler has that elite level floor, you know, because of his rushing ability. So he's kind of in that same type of pocket as like what Lamar Jackson's capable of in his own tier, but just one step up because of his passing ability.
Yeah, but Kyler Murray has fewer rushing yards by a lot. And he's really played one extra game. Yeah, he only has 126 rushing yards.
No way.
Yeah. Week five, he had one rushing yard. Week six, he had six rushing yards. And last week, he had 10. So he has 17 rushing yards in the last 3 weeks.
No way. Holy cow. All right. Like I said, I had to check my stats, but I guess that's incorrect. I will recant.
Recant. Yeah. Last year, he had 800 yards on the ground last year. So basically double Josh Allen.
He just hasn't done that this year. That's wild. Yeah. 43 rushes, 126 yards. A brutal average too.
Yeah.
He averaged 6.2 a carry last year, and he's averaging 2.9 this year. Holy cow.
Yeah.
What a turnaround.
Yeah, very. I wouldn't have guessed. So surprised me as well. So does that change your answer? Do you still have him at QB1?
No. It does change my answer. I will switch back to Josh Allen, knowing that.
So you have both of them ahead of Mahomes.
No. Mahomes won, and then I was deciding between two and three.
Gotcha. Okay. So we are in agreement that it's Mahomes, Allen, Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Who's your 4 and 5?
I Lamar Jackson for me is in the same tier as Kyler and Allen. Personally,
mm-hmm.
So I have Mahomes kind of in his own tier, but Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson are in the tier together. I'm a little bit higher on Lamar Jackson than most people, so I would even consider him in that same area as them. I have a hard time putting him ahead of them though, but I like Lamar Jackson so much.
Yeah. So interesting stat on Lamar Jackson. He's played seven games. In six out of the seven games, he's thrown for exactly one touchdown.
Yeah, that's not good for him for throwing, for sure.
And then in one of the games against the Colts, he had four. He had 442 yards and four touchdowns.
Jeez.
But I will say, if you look at his attempts are actually reasonable now versus where they were in previous years. So last year, he had 376 pass attempts. And this year, he already has 225. So to put that into context, last year he had two games where he had over 30 pass attempts. And this season, he's had two games below 30 pass attempts.
Nice. Wow. Flipped it.
So definitely a shift. Yep, he's passing the ball more, which is great. And he's still running at an effective clip. He'll go over 1,000 yards once again. But now the passing yards have come around as well, to the point where if he starts actually get, he only has 12 touchdowns total through seven games, which is absolute insanity considering that he's sitting at QB5 with only 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that rushing floor is so massive. You could make a case that, assuming that he eventually does pick up his touchdown pace, you could make a case that he is the QB1 in Dynasty. I would not be upset if somebody said that.
I agree. I'm with you on that. Oh, and by the way, I will say that, like, watching him target Rashad Bateman made me feel really good too, because honestly, Marquise Hollywood Brown is putting some things together. I'm more impressed with Hollywood Brown this season than I have been in past years, like mentally at least. I think physically he's always had the tools. Besides, what was the one game, I think week two or week three, where he had like three drop touchdown passes in one half? With the exception of that abysmal half, he's been putting things together and I've been impressed with it. But Rashad Bateman being out, who has been the wide receiver two on that team? Maybe Devin Duvernay, probably, right?
It's kind of right now, they don't really have one. It's Andrews and Brown.
Yeah, and like wide receiver specifically. Andrews has always kind of been that rock, but like he just hasn't really had a very deep selection of wide receivers to throw to in that offense. You know,
Sammy Watkins before he got hurt?
Yep, true. I'm just really optimistic about getting Rashad Bateman added to that offense and like what this could mean. It might open up the secondary for him a little bit. So I'm just wondering what his ceiling could look like with this wide receiver core kind of fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. And for sure. The thing with Lamar on the season so far, he's kind of had I wouldn't say bust, but he's had like very normal game, like pedestrian games. So there's a couple. So he's had a game with 18, a game with 19, a game with 19, and a game with 11. So if you're not scoring 20 points, you're sitting outside the top 10 in terms of quarterback. So the top 10 average 20 or more. So anything below that Mendoza line is basically a QB2. So he's had multiple games now of QB2 type production. More than half of his games have been QB2 production. But then the games that he's had a 32-point game and a 41-point game and a 23-point game. So he's only had one game in the 20s, one game in the 30s, one game in the 40s, and then four games in the teens.
Hmm.
So very up and down, very anti-Jalen Hurts in terms of Jalen Hurts has been steady Eddie. But if you look at their average scoring, Jalen Hurts only has him by 0.7 points per game.
Wow.
So just kind of an interesting way to look at it. So if you're okay with that yo-yo, you know, where he can win you a game or really put you up front, but if he's not producing that high level, you're kind of getting just that Derek Carr type production.
I could see that, but let's just take a look at something here. And by the way, I do want to let the listeners know that we'll probably have to relegate ourselves to just two positions on this podcast. Maybe you can pick this up and do it again next week for the other two. I don't want to cut ourselves short for talking about the guy. So we'll have to choose between wide receiver, running back, or tight end to wrap up the podcast today. But one thing I do want to look at is I looked at this last year for Lamar Jackson, and I wonder if it might be the same this year. I want to look at the strength of schedule that he's got coming up. Like, usually his stinkers are against pretty stiff defenses. In week six last week, before this week, I should say 2 weeks ago technically when people listen to the podcast, he played against the Chargers, who are the number three ranked passing defense in the league, when he scored his 15-point stinker. And even the Raiders in week one, when he had his other sub-20-point game, they were a top 10 pass defense currently. I mean, that's what they're ranked right now. He did have 22. His third worst game was against the Broncos in week four. They're a number six ranked pass defense. So he just kind of like struggles with those. Now he's on a bye week. He plays against the number 12 pass defense in the Vikings and then number 28 in the Dolphins.
Yeah, he's got a pretty tough schedule looking at this.
I agree. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 top 10 defenses coming up in the last half of the season.
Basically, every single game from here on out is against a top half team outside of week 10 against the Dolphins.
Yep.
Top, yeah.
And then some of them, like the Browns, also top three in rushing defense. Steelers, top nine. Browns, top three again. Bengals, number seven. So, like, he goes against some pretty tough defenses. That's kind of disheartening, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just seasonal. If we're talking about Dynasty, you still have Lamar at four based on this conversation. Yeah. So
I was just like, my whole point was to try to identify like if this is a good time to buy or not. And I mean, I think it probably always is because of his age and his production, but.
Yep. Who's your five? This is where it gets interesting.
So Herbert, Dak, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, I guess would all kind of be in the conversation.
I think at this point, Burrow and Lawrence are pretty close in the calculator.
I love Burrow.
I do too. Would you rather have Burrow or Lawrence?
I would rather have Burrow.
Me too.
And I think the main thing is the system, you know, like in the talent that he's got around him. I think it's pretty easy. It's not even.
And that's the difference for me.
Yeah.
I'm aware that Trevor Lawrence has more upside because he is more mobile and he's just from a pure talent perspective, he has it. But like you said, I like the trajectory that Cincinnati is going on. They've obviously surrounded him with talent. He's got a, you know, elite running back. He's got three very good receivers. I think they'll lose Tyler Boyd this offseason. But even then, he's got a young Higgins on a contract for another couple of years, and he's got his buddy Jamar Chase. So with Trevor Lawrence, he's so far from doesn't have a great offensive line. Doesn't have a good, you know, organizational system in place. Doesn't have great receiving weapons. Has a couple good pieces. I guess James Robinson isn't bad from running back perspective and ATN next year, but I don't know. I'm with you there with the Burrow thing. Like, I just think there's more around him. And it's kind of the one in the hand versus two in the bush.
Yeah. I have my answer. I'm kind of like studying the list. It's Herbert pretty easy. I'm actually, this is kind of an epiphany that I'm having while we're talking about our top five at this position. I'm selling Dak. I'm going to sell Dak Prescott.
Why is that?
Well, he's still kind of, I wouldn't say unanimously ranked in the top five quarterbacks, but I don't know that maybe once he's a year removed from his injury, I'm not sure if it's a confidence thing that he's having, but like, I'm not seeing what I'd like from him for him to be where he is at right now. Like last year, the pace that he was on was ridiculous and he warranted being in that top two or three, maybe even, but now he's kind of like starting to waver a little bit. I don't know if it's going to be a regular thing with him or not, but I'd like to sell him as a top four or five quarterback.
So the thing that you had mentioned, I think it's kind of unfair because like you had talked about with Lamar, he did go up against the number four ranked pass defense, number five ranked pass defense, number two pass ranked pass defense in back-to-back-to-back weeks, 2 through 4.
Yeah, that's true.
And he had 237, 238, and 188 against those three teams. Against the teams that were 16th, 22, and 29, he threw for over 300 yards in every single game. In two of those games, he threw for over 400 yards.
That's true, and he's averaging, yeah, and three touchdowns in all of them. He's averaging 375 in those games where he's not playing against top 10s.
Yeah.
Top 5s. That's a good point. That's a good way to look at it. But he has a pretty sexy schedule. Like, he's got a couple middling, you know, like the Vikings, Broncos, 12 and 10. And then he's got the Raiders in week 12, who are the top nine pass defense. But he plays against the Falcons in week 10. He plays against the Chiefs in week 11, who are the 24th ranked pass defense. Saints tied for 24th ranked pass defense. The Washington football team, week 14, 30th ranked pass defense. Twice, and that's for the, that's probably for Super Bowls, right? Week 16?
Yeah. This is a good conversation. I do this a lot, too. This is almost like a redraft conversation.
But I agree.
And this is, and most of the people that play Dynasty also have redraft leagues. If I'm looking at schedules down the road, so when they first start, you get, I always look at the preseason. I always look at the strength of schedule preseason. But post, once the season commences, things change so significantly. For instance, the Washington football team weren't expected to be one of the worst pass defenses in the league, but they are.
That's true.
So it really improves the situation. So preseason, you look at that and be like, oh man, Washington football team, first week of the playoffs and then the Super Bowl, not great. Now you look at it and be like, it is great based on that production through 6 weeks. Yeah. So I look at this and say, this is, he's a great target in redraft because you want to look forward to the playoffs, and he'd be a guy that I'd be trying to acquire in a redraft format.
I've completely 180'd. I gotta say, I understand your angle on how this is a redraft conversation, but it really is a dynasty conversation because values go with performances during the season, you know. And looking at analyzing his schedule really carefully under a magnifying glass, he really could have a chance to go up. Unlike what I was saying before, so I've changed my mind. You've changed my mind.
I've changed your mind.
So anyway, with the exception of a stinker that Justin Herbert had in week 6 against the Ravens, I think that Herbert and Dak are close enough for me to want to just default on age and go Herbert for my QB5, but who's yours?
I really like the fact that Dak has CeeDee Lamb for an indefinite period of time, whereas Herbert has an aging Keenan Allen. He has a durability issued Mike Williams.
And he's contractless next year unless they find a way to
resign. Yeah, and he's, yeah.
Still durability. So
that's a concern for me. But like you said, it's really hard to pass up on that age difference, getting that five-year age difference. At quarterback, it matters less because now you're looking at Dak's probably playing for another 8 years or so.
Yeah.
So it's really not that big of a deal. It's so close, dude. Yeah, it's so close. And I get it. I mean, they're neck and neck in the calculator. This is actually a good experiment to look at how far we are off of where consensus is. And consensus has it pretty much spot on to the way that we have our top 7, even in top 8. Gun in my head,
you got to go Herbert. Herbert's just more flexible of an asset, like you've always preached.
I don't know. I mean, Dallas does have a pretty, they get to play the Giants, the Eagles, and Washington, who that's historically over the last, 5 to 7 years has been probably one of the weakest divisions. And he gets to play those teams. Whereas the Chargers, Chiefs, the Raiders have improved.
Chiefs are shootout games.
The Chiefs are garbage. And the Broncos have been pretty solid.
Yeah, that's true. Broncos passing, are pretty stiff.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, I could be convinced either way. I was hoping this exercise would kind of help give me a definitive answer. It had us not. You know what I'm going to do out of curiosity? I'm going to put a poll while we talk about our next position and see who comes out on top.
There you go. We can move on to the next one. So I decided that I think it would be smart for us to split up wide receiver and running back.
So you want to go tight ends?
No, I want to split them up. I don't want to cover wide receiver and running back next week. I think that's too loaded. So okay. I think we're going to do...
Let's do running back then.
Let's do running back. That's fine. I had wide receivers written down, but easily switched to running backs.
Okay.
And by the way, that's why I wanted to split them up. I think wide receiver and running back have probably the most fireworks for us to cover.
Okay.
So starting at number one, And this is, by the way, this has moved around quite a bit. Every single week, it seems like this is wide open. The running back one job or one spot in Dynasty has probably changed every single week during the regular season. I think Christian McCaffrey had it right away. Christian McCaffrey's injured again, and then other people have stepped up. But as it is a like a point in time, a snapshot right now, at running back one.
So you want to go with the calculator first while you think about who you
Yeah, have. Let's do that.
So as of today, and this was updated, so any game that was played Sunday, so in years past, we've waited for all the games to finish before we did our updates. We just did our mass update on Monday night, or the overnight cycle. Now, what we ended up doing is we, you know, put up a poll on our website, and it was pretty close. Like 53% of the users wanted us to switch to after each night of games. So we've done that. So after the Sunday games, it's Jonathan Taylor 1, DeAndre Swift 2, Najee Harris 3, Christian McCaffrey 4, Dalvin Cook 5. Now, take me through your 5. Or take me through your 1.
It's tough. Yeah, DeAndre Swift is just doing better than what I thought he was doing. I don't have him as my running back one. Jonathan Taylor. It's got to be Jonathan Taylor. What's the difference between Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris? Is it just a ton of volume on a little bit more of a defective offense, maybe? Najee Harris is a little bit more... I'm going to go Najee Harris. I changed my mind. Here's why. With Juju out, I don't think anything's changing for Najee in the foreseeable future, at least until Juju. I think, is Juju shut down for the whole season?
Yeah.
With Juju out, Najee Harris gets so much work in the passing game. And it was starting with week 3 when he had the 19 targets. You and I were just slobbering over that. But 19-7-5-7. And that's just the passing game. He's getting 15 carries, 23 carries, 24 carries in the last 3. That volume is insane. It's so close between JT and Najee, but I'm going to go Najee because I can see him sustaining, like keeping that pace going with Juju out. Who do you got? It's so close.
I'm going to take Najee only for the simple fact that the Steelers, historically, you know, since Tomlin's been around, basically even before Tomlin, they like utilizing one running back. Like, they just like having their guy that they rely on. The thing that worries me is that there's a lot more up in the air with the Steelers. We don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be like next year. We don't know how long it's going to take for them to improve their offensive line. We know that they do have 2 solid receivers next year. We assume Juju's gone. I really like Freiermuth a lot. So I think their receiving options are going to be pretty good next year. But their line and quarterback is up in the air.
Yeah, but it's up in the air right now, too. And he's doing this.
But, I mean, yeah, I think Big Ben is, here's the thing. Big Ben sucks. But what we do know is Big Ben is good for Najee. We don't know if the next quarterback is going to be good for Najee.
Yeah, but do you think that it's because Big Ben's good for Najee, or do you think it's because the Pittsburgh offense is good for Najee? Which one?
I think Big Ben is good for Najee.
Okay. I don't think that will change much unless they get like some sort of crazy Lamar Jackson at quarterback, you know, like where they're going to take off, you know, out of the backfield so many times.
This is a good question. So here's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to put up a Twitter poll.
No, I'm not going to put up a Twitter poll. I would never do that.
I know, just like common words out of your mouth.
Okay. So I'm going to go look at Mason Rudolph. I'm going to look at random games for Mason Rudolph. I'm going to look at his game log. So I'm going to pull up is what game did he throw for the most? So he had 44 passing attempts in 2019. against the Cleveland Browns. And I'm going to see in that game how many times he targeted James Conner. Two targets. Jalen Samuels had six targets.
I was going to say James Conner isn't exactly the shining example of a receiving back, but yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's not a receiving back. Let's look at another game. Let's see if Jalen Samuels had another.
Here's a good question. Were there any games when Le'Veon Bell was the running back where Big Ben was out that we could analyze maybe? Because that's a little bit more.
Great question. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Apples to apples.
So, no. 2018, who was the quarterback in 2018? Did Big Ben play every single game in 2018? So 2018, yeah, he did play every single game.
And then
we're going back to 2015 where he missed a significant amount of time. So that makes it tough to analyze because, I mean, that's 6 years ago.
Well, I mean, it's something. It's a young Lev Bell. It might even be better.
Yeah, but then I'd have to pull up the splits of them in and out of the offense because there's now we have, you know, four games. The quarterback at the time, and also another thing that hurts is it's Michael Vick was the backup.
No way.
Yeah.
Michael Vick had starts for the Steelers?
Yep. That'll be our game next week, our icebreaker.
I completely blanked on that.
It was the first time, yeah, and he only had, in those five games where he started three of them, he only had 66 pass attempts.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, this is going
to
be tough.
Not apples to apples. Yeah,
not apples to apples.
And it's funny, that's that scenario that I said, if it was like a Lamar Jackson, where that would change the dynamic of what they're running on offense. So, and that is exactly that scenario. That's funny.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor, I think I go Najee. And it's close. Like, it's, I always talk about this. If I have Jonathan Taylor and somebody offers me Najee Harris, I reject it. If I have Najee Harris and somebody offers me Jonathan Taylor, I reject it. For me to make a trade, I typically need to be convinced.
Incentivized.
That would be nice. I would say incentivized if they're close, but in a one-for-one trade, it needs to be a convincing difference for me in terms of the players for me to move them. If they're close, I typically don't.
So you need a second on either side to do the other one.
Sure. I think that would be reasonable.
Yeah.
And with DeAndre Swift, I really like DeAndre Swift. I do.
But that offense.
But that's the thing. I mean, he's doing this. He has just about 400 yards receiving and only 260 yards rushing.
Yeah.
He's not going to hit 1,000 yards. He's going to hit like seven. He's going to have a Kamara-like season where he might hit 1,000 yards receiving, but he's probably going to only have about 700 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. We want the receptions. I totally get it.
So I think, it's safe to say that both you and I have Najee 1, Jonathan Taylor 2. And now we're talking about Swift, right?
Yeah, and I will say, I think we may look back at the end of the season and say DeAndre Swift was the clear answer because of just how many receptions he gets and how easy it is for him to accrue fantasy points.
Yeah, and like I said, he's got more points. He's had more fantasy production than I expected before looking his statistics up. I would assume that you know, guys like Najee, and I think Derrick Henry is by far and away leading in the season, but Swift is close enough where I'm surprised.
Yeah, I mean, 52 targets. He's on pace for, 120 targets?
That's insane. It's a lot.
A lot of targets. If he was just able to be more efficient, he's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. If he was just a little bit more efficient on the ground, he would be the clear RB2 in fantasy this season, but he's trailing a little bit in terms of his efficiency.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. And I thought about this last night. Imagine Derrick Henry's dynasty value if he was 23 years old.
It would be like Saquon from 3 years ago.
No, it would be way above that.
Yeah, I guess so, with his production.
You have to think, because he, let's say, assume that he came out at 21 years old and he had his first 1,500-yard season. And then his second season, he had 2,000 yards. And then this is now his third season at 23 years old.
Yeah, that'd be insane.
And he's doing what he's doing. Would he be untouchable? Like, legitimately, would he be untouchable?
Yeah.
To the point where his dynasty value would be so high that you couldn't justify giving up what is required to get him.
Yep, I agree. So, like, basically, like, Pat Mahomes and Superflex, you know, from a couple years ago or whatever. Like, he was just astronomical, unattainable. I can't really think of a better example, honestly. There's nobody else.
He would be above what Christian McCaffrey's value was, because Christian McCaffrey had a couple of really, really good seasons. But the way, like, a lot of it has to do with how you get it done. Like, Derrick Henry is, like, every single week is, like, a new level of holy shit.
Yeah.
You know? And even when he has a bad game, it's still 16 points.
Yep, like last week.
You know, so it's just like, I don't know. It's amazing. Maybe you could, we're looking at maybe like LT is another good example of that type of heights of value.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
The funny thing is, you can't really compare apples to apples there, because back when LaDainian was doing his thing, there were other running backs that were also getting a shit ton of work and were putting up a crap ton of points.
Yeah, Priest Holmes, Sean Alexander, tons of them.
Yeah. So it's Curtis Martinez. I don't know if they overlapped when LaDainian was going crazy. I think Curtis was actually at the end of his career.
But I think Ricky Williams and Edgerrin James were.
Edge. Yeah, another good Edge is a good one. So you look at that and you say Derrick Henry is now outpacing the field by, what is that? He's up 50 points on the next closest person.
Yep, which is Swift.
Which is DeAndre Swift. And he's averaging 7 more points per game.
Yeah, that's wild. So anyway, to answer your question, yeah, he would be completely untouchable.
So, yeah. So right now, if you have Derrick Henry, there is no way, unless your team is god-awful, he's kind of like the guaranteed playoff lottery ticket right now. He's the only player in fantasy that's guaranteeing you a playoff appearance just by existing on your roster.
Yep.
And it's kind of like Lamar Jackson from 2 years ago, where that was the case, where Lamar Jackson was so good that he just carried you into the playoffs no matter how bad your team was around it.
Yep, I agree.
But I thought that was interesting. I was just thinking about that last night. So we have Swift. So we agree Najee, or we both have Najee, or do you have Jonathan Taylor?
Both have Najee. We both have Taylor, and we both have Swift at 3.
Okay, so a little different.
Let me give my reason. So Swift is good. I'm not so confident that he'll be like the easy choice at number one. Is if this, you know, when the season ends, kind of like you said, is a possibility that we could look back on that. I mean, you know, I'm less convinced that's a possibility than you are, maybe. But the next guys to go against Swift in this spot would be a 25-year-old injury prone suddenly Christian McCaffrey, 26-year-old Dalvin Cook, 25-year-old Nick Chubb. And then 24-year-old Saquon Barkley. It's like those are your next options. And by the way, Saquon, I mean, he probably earns that injury-prone label too, even though that he's had some fluky accidents. But out of those guys, there just isn't anybody I feel good enough about putting ahead of him. So I think it's pretty easily Swift at 3. But now we have to try to like navigate through the murky waters to choose a fourth running back in Dynasty. And I'm just going to say mine. I've got it.
Go ahead.
Mine is Saquon.
Interesting.
I understand that his value is currently a bit deflated considering he's injured. But I think that will bounce back when he returns to the team and he has some, you know, some good performances again, because it wasn't long ago that he was kind of like fighting for that top 2 or 3 spot before he got injured again. Mm-hmm. And again, he is the youngest of what's left in that top 10 or 15 almost even. And the most dynamic. So, like, I think it's, for me, it's pretty easily my RB4 is Saquon Barkley.
Interesting. Pretty easily for me, my RB4 is actually Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
So, Saquon, when he plays, like, is good.
Is good.
Christian McCaffrey, when he plays, is phenomenal.
And I agree. I just, I just think that he's at a point where he's such a liability on your roster. I can't do that anymore, you know?
I feel that way about Barkley.
Do you?
Like, well, no, I don't
I would
think
if
he's a
this
liability.
Was more of a, if it was more of like he was running and this happened, but it was like you and I watched the injury. Yeah, you actually told me, like, go watch it again. He was not in the play. He was running backwards. He just happened to step on somebody's foot. And you and I have done that a million times playing basketball, you know, like jump up in the air.
Yeah.
Somebody comes up underneath you. It was that type of thing, you know, where it wasn't like his body is like, I'm worried about McCaffrey's body. I don't know if it's durable.
Yeah.
I don't feel the same about Saquon yet, but I could be convinced soon if stuff keeps happening. So,
yeah, I am taking the risk that Christian McCaffrey is going to be fine. But at the same time, now, if this was a healthy Saquon and he was just producing at 80% of Christian McCaffrey.
And this ankle injury never happened. Yep.
I'd be fine with Saquon Barkley. My concern with Saquon isn't necessarily Saquon himself. It's the team itself. Like, at what point does New York just get better? Like, are they, like, look at Nick Chubb, for instance. If Cleveland was Cleveland of the past, where they didn't bolster and have the sickest offensive line in the league, and they didn't have a turnaround with their franchise, Nick Chubb wouldn't be as good as Nick Chubb is. He would be grinding out games. He'd be struggling. He'd be kind of like Joe Mixon from a few years ago, where it's just like super inefficient, really talented running back, just unfortunately is stuck behind a terrible situation. So I'm worried about that with Barkley. I think Barkley as a talent is exceptional.
I have your answer, by the way, if you want it.
What's my answer?
You tweet that I'm gonna throw your own tweet at you. You tweeted Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold are back to being Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold. I think that might have been word for word. I'm going off memory. Was that what it was? I mean, that's the essence of it.
Sure, yeah.
Now, Daniel Jones had an excellent start to the season, correct?
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to even look at maybe just his statistics here. Daniel Jones in weeks 1 through 4, which is when you basically said he was doing well. 24 fantasy points, 32, 19, 32. And then week 5 is when he completely fell apart. Well, what happened in week 5?
What do you mean?
What happened in week 5 that you think caused Daniel Jones to fall apart?
I don't think it's Saquon. You think it's Saquon?
I think it's Saquon. I think Daniel Jones stinks without Saquon. And I think the offense stinks without Saquon. But I think it all works pretty well when he's healthy. So, like, I'm answering your question. I think that the offense is good when Saquon is in there because it opens other things up, you know? Like, nobody's respecting. I mean, Booker's good. Devontae Booker's fine. But he's not like nobody is very concerned about him like they are with Saquon. So I think the offense is completely different with Saquon in there. Before Saquon got hurt, Daniel Jones in a game had 400 passing yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's against the Saints, but I just think that that's the difference.
And you don't think the difference could be... Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you might have something there.
Yeah, I'm convinced. And that's why, I mean, that's why I'm less concerned about Saquon being in my, you know, where he is as for.
Yeah.
So... We can keep the train on the tracks here. We got to wrap things up.
Who's
here pretty
your
soon too. But I think from what I have left to choose from, I think my 5 is really easy. It's McCaffrey. You probably have a harder time choosing your 5 since you got.
Yeah, Nick
Chubb.
My 5 is pretty easy. My number 5 is pretty easy as well, and it's Nick Chubb. And I think outside looking in is Barkley. I think he's just on the outside of that. I kind of have it grouped into the Taylor Swift Harris, they're on their own little platform. And then I have the McCaffrey, Chubb, Barkley outside looking in.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not far off. It's, you know, it's splitting hairs.
No.
For me, McCaffrey's one spot lower than you just because I don't feel comfortable putting him, you know, in that spot yet until I can see some more healthy games. But, and then you have Chubb. I don't have Chubb in there. Chubb would probably be pretty easily considered next, but like, yeah, I can't do Dalvin Cook for the same reasons I can't do McCaffrey. So I can't have Dalvin Cook at 5 or 6. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at the next one, the next tier.
Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry?
It's got to be Derrick Henry easily, right? There's only one year that separates them in age.
Yeah, it's like a year and a half, but yeah.
So then it would be Derrick Henry easily. In fact, I know it's we're not doing situationally based. We're just doing blanket dynasty rankings. But you have to almost consider Derrick Henry as an honorable mention in that top 5, 6, 7 range, you know?
Yeah. The problem, so Derrick Henry's value from a community perspective is lower because
he's 28 in January.
He's 28 in January. So if some of these other guys, even if you're looking at next year, there are teams that are focused on 2022 that will accept a Dalvin Cook, will accept a Christian McCaffrey, will even accept an Alvin Kamara for next year. But I feel like every single year now with Derrick Henry, because of the workload and the age, people are viewing him as I don't want him next year. So you eliminate so many people and it brings down Derrick Henry's value in Dynasty. But if you're contending,
he's way up there.
You could argue if you're contending,
number one,
he should be your number one. And it doesn't mean that you trade Jonathan Taylor for Derrick Henry straight up, but maybe you trade Jonathan Taylor for Derrick Henry plus to kind of alleviate, a draft pick. But here's the thing. This is what also makes it difficult. If the person that you're trading from or trying to acquire Derrick Henry from, they likely are now in a strong playoff situation because of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they should be, unless they had, you know, injury problems, you know, even with everybody besides Derrick Henry. Yeah.
Even then, like, he's the gap between him and everybody else is so strong.
I agree. Yeah, I know.
So it's, I know
it's probably not happening.
It's just rare.
Very frequently.
I'm saying, I'm saying it's rare. I bet you're going to have a hard time finding many Derrick Henry trades where a rebuilding or a contending team is going after Derrick Henry and is able to acquire him from a rebuilding team.
Yep, I agree.
But yeah, very interesting. I don't know, man. We might be having this same exact conversation next year where he's 28 and he's still dominating.
I think he's an outlier. He is actually a really good 3-year guy. So if you're playing for 3 years, he's really good for that, because I think he's shown that durability problems aren't an issue with him, like with his kind of late start to his career. Maybe that's one of the reasons why, but I think we will have this conversation next year. I don't think it's even a doubt.
Yep. And another big thing we always talk about from a contract perspective, they're locked in for another 3 years.
Yep, there you go.
Like, pretty heavily. So his cap hit and his dead cap is, well, I guess this year is 19. Next year, not bad. Next year is 6, and then 2023 is 3.
6 is good.
That's the pre-June 1 cut.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So 9 and 12 if it's not.
But there's no chance that Tennessee will be it's kind of funny that Derrick Henry to an NFL team is just like Derrick Henry to a fantasy team. Derrick Henry makes them into a contender, you know, like he completes any offense. So I don't think they're going to be saying goodbye to Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
That's just wild. That was fun though. This was fun. I'm excited to do there's some serious fireworks in wide receivers too. Like I said, the running back position with Najee Harris, kind of like bumping up to one like that. And then we get some fireworks at the wide receiver position next week. So you guys are gonna have to tune in to see what we got to say about
wide receivers and tight ends
are more interesting than I would have expected at this point in the season too. So like some really cool stuff to tune in for next week. I think we were talking about doing a bye week next week, but I don't think we can. We have to do this.
We keep going. And you know, it's funny is we talked about this pre-show and I brought this up to you. We could be looking at a situation where the RB1, wide receiver one, and tight end one in Dynasty are all rookies.
That's wild.
Which I don't know if that's ever happened before.
We'd have to look back to see if that's ever happened before. I don't think it has. 3 of the 4 skill positions. I don't think that's ever happened. But maybe we'd have to look.
Yeah. Damn it, Trevor Lawrence.
But anyway, that's all we got for you this week. Thank you for listening to the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. You can put your pants back on. We appreciate you stopping by. Check out the website, DynastyTradeCalculator.com. Find us on Twitter at FFDynastyTrades. You can find Izzy at DTC_EZE, and I am at FFHercules. The fabulous producer, John Mosier, is at DTC_John. Moser, M-O-E-S-E-R. That's all we got. Bye.
I'm last 101 pick. I'm bad, bad at the bone. They mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value.